Good evening. This is the Traffic and Safety Commission meeting held on Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. We'll go ahead and take roll. Chairman Reese.
Here.
Mr. Chase. Mr. Gillis.
Here.
Mr. Hoyt.
Mrs. Hoyt is
Mrs.
here.
Mrs. Hoyt. Mr. J. Rahman. Mr. Carl.
Here.
Mr. Osga.
Everybody. We have representatives from Thomas Engineering Group with us tonight who are going to give a presentation on a traffic study they did. Before they did that, before they do that, we're going to like to ask if anybody would like to make a motion to adopt the minutes from the last meeting.
So moved.
And any comment on the minutes?
I just want to thank the minute writer for Bill for taking your time to write all of that out.
That's not me.
That was not you?
That was Kim.
Thank you.
Kim and Earl.
That was a long one.
Right. We have a second on the vote.
Second. A second.
Can we have a vote on the minutes?
Chairman Reese?
Yes. Approved.
Mr. Gillis?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes.
Okay, so as I mentioned, we have two main things on the agenda tonight. One is to have a presentation from Thomas Engineering Group on the work that they've done. I will just note up front that I know many people are here to talk about also, you know, the continued issue with respect to Clinton and Bonnie Bray. You should be aware that section was excluded from this report. And it was excluded from this report because KLOA had previously done a comprehensive study of that northeast quadrant. So I'm sure we'll be able to talk about that. And we'll talk about, you know, the repercussions of that. And then, I think the bulk of the meeting will be to hear from Thomas Engineering. And then we'll see kind of where to go from there with respect to Clinton and Bonnie Bray. I'd really like not to repeat the meetings that we've already had, but we'll figure out a way to see if we can just make sure we register what the public comment is and the public sentiment and get any new comments that there might be on those issues. So without further ado, let me turn it over to Jim and or Kyle from Thomas Engineering Group. Are you Jim or Kyle?
I'm Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Jeff, if you want to advance to the next slide. Good evening, and thank you for allowing me to present tonight. My name is Jim Uradovac, and I'm a senior project manager at Thomas Engineering Group. I'm a licensed professional engineer and a certified professional traffic operation engineer and a road safety professional. I'm here to share the findings of our village-wide traffic study. And this is not just a collection of data, but yet a roadmap that aims to guide us towards a safer and more efficient transportation environment for the community. Our goal is to provide actionable insights that will serve as a foundation for future planning and infrastructure improvements. The primary objective of the study was to offer a comprehensive analysis of the current traffic conditions in the village. Our overarching aim was to identify high-risk locations, assess the efficiency of existing traffic controls, and offer actionable recommendations for both immediate and long-term improvements. All roadways in the village were categorized into three distinct types for the study. These include arterial, primary, and local. The local streets are predominantly the minor residential roads, whereas the primary are engineered to accommodate higher traffic volumes. The arterial routes are the marked state routes, with the higher traffic speeds being North and Harlem. We did not review these locations in order to focus our effort within the internal village roadway. We performed traffic counts at 17 primary intersections, and supplemented those counts with 6 additional intersections and multiple speed data location points. By combining data-driven insights with practical solutions and community input, we aim to improve road safety, optimize traffic flow, and enhance the overall quality of life for village residents. Community engagement played a pivotal role in shaping the objectives and outcomes of our study. Early in the project, we issued a SurveyMonkey survey to gather resident feedback on various traffic and safety topics. The survey focused The survey served multiple purposes. It helped identify focus areas and provided valuable insights into resident concerns. The survey revealed a strong community interest in specific traffic calming measures, speed control, and pedestrian safety. This feedback was instrumental in refining our recommendations and improvements. Additionally, the survey provided valuable insights into the community's acceptance of various countermeasures, ensuring that our proposed solutions are not only effective, but also aligned with the needs and preferences of the village residents. In summary, the resident feedback gathered through the survey has been a cornerstone in the study. It's enabled us to create a more community-centric approach, ensuring that our recommendations are both data-driven and aligned with the values and concerns of the community. This dual focus ensures that our study outcomes are not just technically sound, but also socially acceptable, thereby increasing the likelihood of successful implementation. One of the key components of our village-wide study was the development of a traffic calming toolbox. This toolbox is a compilation of proven strategies and interventions designed to address a variety of traffic and safety concerns within the village. It serves as a practical guide, offering solutions that range from simple signage adjustments to more complex engineering measures. The toolbox was developed with a focus on flexibility and adaptability, allowing the village to tailor solutions to specific issues or locations. Moreover, the TCT is not just a static document, but designed to evolve. As the village's needs evolve or new traffic management methods emerge, this toolbox can be adapted to incorporate these strategies in the future. This ensures that the village has a living document that addresses both current and future traffic and safety challenges. The creation of the toolbox was guided both by data-driven insights from our traffic and crash analysis, as well as by the community input from the survey. By combining these elements, we created a toolbox that is not only effective, but aligned with the needs and concerns of the residents. To utilize the traffic calming toolbox, a location is scored based on items such as speed, crash data, road characteristics, and resident petitions. The toolbox provides four levels of improvements based upon the score. The more a countermeasure impacts the road, the higher a level. For example, a level one improvement may be a simple sign installation, whereas a level four might be a forced turn island. The traffic calming toolbox serves as a cornerstone for the village traffic management strategy, and provides a robust set of tools for improving road safety, optimizing traffic flow, and enhancing the overall quality of life for the residents. Another major component of our effort was to develop a comprehensive traffic model for the village. This model incorporates existing traffic counts and additional counts that we performed as part of the study. The model's strength lies in its ability to simulate how intersections interact with each other, providing a holistic view of the village's traffic system. The model allows us to assess both the level of service and delay, thereby identifying bottlenecks and areas of concern. For example, the always stop intersection at Lathrop and Division exhibited a failing LOS of E during the AM peak hour and D during the PM peak hour. And our simulation showed that by converting this always stop intersection to a signalized intersection, that would improve the level of service to a level B. On the positive side, most intersections in the village were found to operate well. Although some individual movements were failing, particularly at minor stop locations or those with high number of left turns. One of the key advantages of this model is the ability to foresee how changes at one intersection can impact the broader network. This enables us to implement more effective countermeasures and avoid unintended consequences, like pushing traffic from routes towards routes that already are operating near capacity. This analysis serves as a dynamic tool for both immediate and long-term planning. It allows the village to identify issues proactively and offers a data-driven foundation for future traffic management and infrastructure improvements. Next is our crash analysis. We conducted this using 2016 to 2021 crash data that we obtained from IDOT. We performed the analysis for every intersection and segment within the village. Utilizing a proprietary in-house crash processing program, we categorized crashes based on factors such as type, year, and injury severity. To ensure a comprehensive understanding of the traffic landscape, we employed different peer groups in our analysis. For intersections, these were signalized, always stop, minor stop three leg, and minor stop four leg intersections. And for the segments, they were divided into three categories that were previously mentioned of local, primary, and arterial. The peer groups allow us to capture a representative cross-section of both intersection and segment types within the village. We used a weighted scoring system based on frequency and severity to assign a score for every location. We identified 22 locations, or roughly the top 10%, comprised of 9 segments and 13 intersections for a more detailed analysis. We're not going to get into all the crash details here, but many of the segments were found to be operating satisfactory. Two had recommended action. One is along Thatcher, which we'll get into a little bit later, and the other is at Division from Monroe to Bonnie Bray, for which we're recommending a speed study. 4 of the intersections were found to be satisfactory, and 5 were on Thatcher and Washington, which again we'll get to shortly. For Chicago and William, we're recommending a speed study. And for the remaining 3, in addition to a speed study, we're recommending a traffic count at Ashland to determine if a change in traffic control is appropriate. We're recommending upgrading crosswalk striping associated with the nearby school for Chicago at Jackson. And lastly, for Lathrop and Division, we're recommending the installation of a traffic signal. Actually, go 2 forward. I missed one. Sorry. The next portion of the study was to examine an uncontrolled two-block span. There are numerous locations like this in the village, and there's concerns relating to speeding and cut-through traffic. We focused our study on Ashland between Madison and Washington due to its high crash rate, and the resident complaints about speeding in this location. The study aims to determine if changes are needed to make these spans less appealing to speeding traffic and to cut-through traffic. We collected speed and volume data over a 24-hour period on all 4 legs of the middle intersection of Ashland and Vine. Analyzing these volumes, we found the directional split between northbound and southbound to be fairly even, which indicates that it's unlikely that there is cut-through traffic. The volumes are also well within the range of what a residential road is capable of handling and no cause of concern. The 85th percentile speeds were 22 miles per hour for northbound and 25 for southbound, which are at or below the speed limit. Digging into those a little bit deeper, we did find that there are several hours a day, particularly in the afternoon hours, that there is speeding in the southbound direction with values around 30 miles per hour. The crash analysis found relatively low number of crashes related to Ashland. Most of the crashes in the area were actually related to the cross streets or at intersection-related crashes. The ones that were on Ashland were isolated events with no patterns or recurring issues. Therefore, we're recommending a stepped approach here, starting with one of our level 1 improvements, such as a speed feedback sign and targeted speed enforcement. These measures are anticipated to address the limited speeding that we have seen in this corridor. And we anticipate that these conditions will apply to the other 2-block spans and could be applied in each location. Next is our analysis of Washington Boulevard. It's a major collector road in River Forest and has been a focal point for concern regarding speeding and underutilized parking. To address this, we focused the study on Washington. Our study on Washington included traffic volume and speed data collection, crash data analysis, and we incorporated feedback from the resident survey. The road features one lane in each direction with on-street parking. There's a variety of traffic control, including always stop, minor stop, and signalized intersections. The surrounding area is primarily residential, along with 3 nearby parks. And the study aims to determine an appropriate cross-section to provide traffic calming measures and improve traffic safety and flow. We analyzed peak hour traffic volumes at Thatcher, Franklin, and Lathrop. Washington is one of the limited number of bridges crossing the Des Plaines River, and it does serve as an alternative to busier routes like North Avenue and Madison Avenue to cross. Speed data showed that the 85th percentile speed was at 38 miles per hour, which is obviously significantly above the speed limit of 25 miles per hour. This indicates a severe disparity between driver perception of the road and its intended design. Our detailed crash analysis for the corridor found there were 101 crashes, with angle being by far the most prominent type. Notably, Thatcher, Gale, Keystone, Ashland, and Lathrop all had elevated crash rates. The crash analysis revealed varying patterns at the different intersections, but the frequency of angle crashes at all-way stop and signalized intersection raises significant concerns regarding speeding and adherence to traffic control. Overall, the analysis suggests a need for diverse safety measures to address the unique challenges at each intersection. We then incorporated the survey response data to our Washington study. The majority of residents were open to eliminating some parking in an effort to improve traffic calming. Speeding and disobeying stop signs were also identified by respondents as concerns along the road. Based on our analysis, we proposed two new cross-sections for Washington. Jeff, if you want to advance. Two new cross-sections along Washington with the transition point at Park. The western cross-section would provide a 11-foot lane in each direction, a 3-foot bike lane with a 2-foot buffer on each side for the north and south side of the street, and maintain parking on the north side, but eliminate it on the south. The eastern cross-section will keep the same lane configuration from Park to Lathrop, but the lanes will be reduced in width to 11 feet and provide a 2-foot stripe median along with off-street multi-use paths for pedestrians and bicyclists. In addition, we're recommending taking steps to mitigate the speeding along this route by implementing additional forms of traffic calming. Our preference here is to provide raised intersections at Thatcher, Keystone, Franklin, and Lathrop. These physical obstacles force drivers to slow down and create more awareness at the intersection. We're also suggesting to provide curb bump outs at various intersections throughout the corridor, and these should be designed to not impact the bike facilities that we're providing. Next is our analysis of Thatcher Avenue. This is a 3-lane road on the perimeter of the village. There are 2 southbound lanes and 1 northbound lane with parking along the east side of the road. Based on survey responses and crash rates, we selected the northern portion of Thatcher between Division and Augusta for an in-depth study as a representative sample of the entire corridor. Both the termini intersections were counted as part of the initial data gathering, and we also collected speed data within the segment. Our study revealed that the 85th percentile speed here was at 41 miles per hour, once again significantly higher than the posted speed limit of 25. This discrepancy is particularly alarming, as it indicates that a majority of drivers are comfortable driving at speeds well above the limit, posing safety risks for the other road users. The study also highlighted that speed issues are more pronounced in the southbound lanes, with the 85th percentile reaching speeds up to 44 miles per hour. This could be attributed to the road's imbalance with having the 2 southbound lanes and the absence of features that naturally will calm traffic. To address these issues, we recommend several countermeasures. These include reducing southbound traffic to 1 through lane, installing a bike lane as per the 2019 comprehensive plan, and introducing periodic raised intersections through the corridor. These measures aim to change the road's character, thereby encouraging drivers to adhere to the speed limit. We also considered the addition of southbound auxiliary turn lane to allow drivers to turn left at the intersections and into the driveways without disrupting through traffic. Our review determined that Thatcher will need a full corridor study to verify that these issues do continue throughout the corridor, but a review of the crashes at the other intersections indicate that speeding issues likely remain within the entire corridor. In summary, this study provides a comprehensive analysis of the traffic conditions and safety in the village. Outside of a few problem locations, most roads and intersections do operate well and do not have safety concerns. Speeding is definitely an issue at several locations and heavily influences many of the recommendations made here. Our recommendations aim to improve both road safety and traffic flow, benefiting both the residents and visitors to River Forest. With that, I thank everyone for your time.
Thanks, Jim. Jim, can you take a few questions from the commissioners? A couple things. One is, I note that so for everyone in the room here, if you haven't seen it, this study is available on the village's website. The version that's on the website is labeled as a draft. Do you intend it to stay as a draft because it's an iterative document, or at some point will it be changed from draft status?
So it will be changed. We just wanted to get it out to the public for consumption as quickly as possible. There are certainly, some items we staff hasn't had an opportunity to go through and fully vet everything yet either. So if anything came up tonight, I know there was one survey question where we don't have the answers listed. They were text answers. So little kind of administrative things like that, we'll button up and then post on the website for, you know, additional consumption. But again, we want to get it out there as quickly as possible.
Okay. A couple other questions, if you don't mind. Can you comment on the method that TEG uses to do the counts and to collect the speed data? For example, I think I saw a photo of a guy holding like a machine. Yeah, I know that there are some methods of counting using, you know, the things that go across the road. Can you comment on just what methodology you use to collect both the traffic counts as well as the speed data?
Sure. The traffic counts were conducted with a couple different methods. Primarily, we used MyoVision video traffic counting software facility. It's basically a service that they come out and, or we have a subconsultant that we use for the counts. They mount cameras on a pole, records the intersection, and then the data is analyzed by a computer, and it provides a directional count at the intersections of all the movements. It's a fully readily accepted method of counting by IDOT and most agencies.
Does that capture speed too, or is that?
No, that is just for volumes, and it's actually been found to be more accurate than manual count methods. In addition to the MyoVision counts, we also performed speed data collection utilizing Hi-Star pavement counters, and those are little like 6x9-inch rectangular devices that get taped down to the pavement, and when vehicles pass over, it records the speed. You know, if it's going one way versus the other, it'll pick them both up. Those also can record volume data, but it doesn't give you the directional turns that the video does. So we do supplement to try to get an overall volume on a leg of an intersection to see how many cars run. We'll use the Hi-Star count data as a supplement to give that. But when we're trying to get intersection turning movements, that's when we use the the MyoVision count.
So is it fair to say it sounds like both methods are fairly obscure, meaning that if a motorist isn't really paying attention, they may not know.
Yes, and that is the full collected intent. Any data collection methods we do, we want to be a fly on the wall. We don't want to be influenced, especially when it comes to the speed collection. You don't want, like you said, the sample picture of a police officer holding his gun. People are going to slow down for that. Yeah. We want to collect speeds without influencing the speed of the driver. And that also goes into the placement of the counts, which I think does get mentioned within the study. But those pavement counters, if we're using them within a block segment, we want to make sure we're not too close to coming from a stop location or coming to a stop location, because obviously drivers are going to be slowing down or just starting to speed up. So, you know, kind of picking an ideal location and where you're going to cap a driver at speed. And obviously we captured many drivers at speed here.
And then a couple questions related to your recommendations, either for you or for Jeff. One, you mentioned a stepped approach. And so I was wondering if, as a philosophy, I mean, do you have an opinion or a philosophy that, as a general matter, you recommend that a village should take a stepped approach? Or, you know, some of the recommendations are more robust, I guess I'd say. And I guess maybe it just depends on the particular needs of the area. But how do you, and I guess the related question is, do you guys or does the village, I want to understand kind of how we should contemplate going about considering and implementing your recommendations. And in particular, you know, one of the issues that's been addressed and probably has a lot of people here is, you know, we want to make sure we give people notice in an affected area so that if there's a proposal, say, to do what you're talking about doing at Thatcher or at Washington, just for example, that we make sure we give those people notice. So is it contemplated that we would have this data collected and there are certain recommendations that you've already made? I would think we'd want to act on those fairly promptly, but I'm wondering if Jeff, you or Jim, if you've given some thought about how we go about implementing any of the recommendations.
Sure. So part of the goal of tonight was just to kind of get the general findings of this study out there again for consumption and consideration. To your point, anything that the commission would be considering pursuing when it becomes site specific, that is something we would ask the commission to just kind of discuss as a group, make known that it's your intention to discuss the bump outs at Lake and Park. And then we would notify accordingly for a future meeting so that a more kind of concise conversation can take place regarding that specific location. This was more of a broader picture just to, again, get it all out there and start to gather some feedback.
And then kind of along those lines, Jim or Jeff, anyone, have you identified some of these areas that you think we should prioritize? So if we were to decide, okay, we're going to take these, you know, maybe a piece at a time, are there some areas that you identified that you think we as a commission should consider prioritizing above others?
Staff has not. Again, that was part of the goal of tonight, to see from the public what the priorities are or from the commission where we'd like to focus so that, again, we can start to kind of focus the conversation for future meetings. But at this point, nothing has been identified specifically as a priority.
Okay. Let me ask a couple more questions and I'll turn it over, see if other commissioners have questions. I know I noted at the beginning that the Northeast quadrant was excluded from this, and in part because, and I printed it out here, this is these pages on two-sided pages are the prior KLOA study. This big monster is yours. Did you, as part of your work, I know you, did you look at the KLOA study?
I believe we read through it, but we didn't really, you know, again, it was the excluded area, so we didn't really focus anything, based upon that. But yeah, we're somewhat aware of what was going on there. And obviously the changes of, you know, the right in, right out, and the cul-de-sac locations.
So. And one reason, I'll just ask you the question, but one reason I'm asking about that is that KLOA collected similar data. And I don't know that they collected in exactly the same manner that you mentioned. They may have used different manners to collect some of the data, but we do have from KLOA speed data, crash data, volume data on the streets that are at issue, for example, Bonnie Bray, Clinton, William, Monroe. And I looked at their data and I plugged it into your point matrix. And so a question is that a, do you have an opinion or do you know if that would be a valid methodology for us going forward to say, okay, we've got KLOA data. That's the data we have. Leaving aside whether there are questions about the underlying data. And this was data that was collected in March of 2022. It was included in a report that I think was maybe prepared in June of 2022, and we discussed it at a meeting in September of 2022. But using your point methodology, it looks to me like we could take data from the KLOA study and assign points using your methodology to determine if, for example, to be concrete, Bonnie Bray, we could determine that on the KLOA study, speed was not seen as an issue with respect to Bonnie Bray. And under your study, that would be, you know, 0 to 5 points or something like that, if the speed was within the appropriate range. Similarly, I think they've measured volume at 900 cars based on their period of collection. And I think you guys would put a certain number of points based on that volume. I think at 900, that would be 5 points. But so, and then similarly, there's crash data that they collected. I think none of the intersections that they looked at had more than 3 crashes in a period. So that would also get points under your methodology. In doing that, we would be able to identify that based on the KLOA data, Bonnie Bray, for example, or Clinton Place would qualify as either level 1 or level 2. Am I just thinking about it the right way? You know, assuming that their data is good, and for other jobs, we would use your data, but is that the way that you recommend we take your point methodology, we collect the data, we apply the data against, you know, we measure, we assign the points, and then based on those points, it identifies if the particular area studied is qualifies for level one, level two, level three, level four type interventions? It's a long question, but is that the right?
Yeah, answer? No, I think I got you. Generally speaking, I would say yes. That is the intent of that document. Is that it isn't just for the purposes of our study here. This is something that the village can continue to use in the future. As Jeff mentioned, you know, the study hasn't been fully approved. There, you know, as it undergoes reviews, there may be adjustments to the exact point scoring in that system. But once that is an accepted document, I would say, yeah, that can definitely be used by, you know, applying previous collected data, as in the KLOA study, or the next project that comes up next year and new data is collected. Okay, you know, see where it falls against that chart, and that's the idea, is that it creates a more uniform application of improvements, and each location is treated and scored by the same system, as opposed to, well, that study was done and at that time we thought this was a good idea, and then later we thought this was a good idea and completely different solutions and completely, you know, the exact same issue, and you know, maybe the case where this is kind of keeps a guided focus on how bad is the problem. Okay, you know, let's put an appropriate level solution out there, and again, you know, the higher the score, the more involved the more involved of an improvement it would be, you know, going from, like I said, you know, going from a simple sign to, you know, curb bump outs to, you know, closing off a road or whatever it may be.
Okay. Jeff, I see
you. The only clarifier I would add is, yeah, this is the traffic calming toolbox is part of this village-wide study, but the goal was just to have that completed. That's a split off appendix that this group could then use to apply to any particular situation. So don't just think of it within the context of this study. It's for use years into the future.
Right.
So it's a question just on the toolbox in particular. So is this a TEG proprietary methodology that you're?
No,
is it broader than that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's anything TEG. You can look around other communities. There's a lot of similar things, you know, an exact countermeasure. We try to tailor some of the specific countermeasures we listed as to ones that were acceptable within the village wide survey. Obviously, if everybody said, we hate speed humps, don't put speed humps in, we don't want that as our, hey, we think this is the best option. You know, there's other options that could effectively do the same thing. But yeah, the you know, we did develop this one specifically, but it's very similar to others that you would see.
And then related to that, Jeff, are we formally adopting, once this is approved, this methodology to help us with our decision making, or is the village approving it in a way that we know that we can use it, or do we need to have an opinion on whether we should use it or not?
Excuse me, I'm Matt Walsh, the village administrator. Yes, the intent would be for that to be formally adopted, because I think that adds legitimacy to that process moving forward to help out the commission and the village board for treating any petitions or requests or anything else that comes forward. We can just direct it to that process that will be vetted. That's not the intent tonight, because this is just coming and it's a huge document, as Chairman Reese pointed out. But that is the goal.
And can I follow up question? I noticed, I don't know that this was a focus of your presentation, and if it was, maybe I missed it. But you also have in here a cost matrix, which is really helpful, because you identify at each level one, level two, level three, the different kinds of interventions or actions that might be taken. And then you have notes on implementation, kind of what, not only what the cost is, but what the desired outcome is, meaning, you know, some things are better for speed, some things are better for volume. Can you comment a little bit about what you guys call the cost matrix, just how to use that?
Yeah, I think what you just actually described it as is basically the use. I mean, it's kind of, and maybe hopping back to your earlier question about, starting with kind of a smaller improvement and stepping in. I mean, that's generally speaking is how we would do it. You know, how we would recommend. Obviously, if you are at a higher level of score, you know, it's clear that something more involved is needed. You know, it's okay to go there. But the intent of the cost matrix is kind of just to help guide that in that, okay, we think these are a couple options we're considering, and it may just be simply, you know, options A, B, and C are all going to give us a similar benefit, and A is half the cost and easier to implement, and it meets the needs of what we're trying to do. As you said, you know, this one is geared towards speed, and that's what we're trying to address. You know, that would be the probably the appropriate countermeasure to start with.
And do you mind commenting on the use of speed humps or bumps versus speed tables. Those are some terms that kind of get thrown around, but people may or may not understand. Can you comment a little bit about those and where one versus the other might be appropriate?
Sure. Speed, generally speaking, they're all the same. They just get bigger and bigger as you go. So it's speed bump is, you know, it's going to be a couple inches raised off the pavement and I'm guessing a foot or so wide. I don't know exact dimensions. Whereas a speed hump is maybe 3 or 4 feet wide. A speed table gets even wider than that. And then a raised intersection is essentially a speed table across an entire intersection.
I see. So the speed table could be in the intersection or it could be in the middle of a block.
Correct. Yeah. Speed.
Similar questions because the table in the pictures of the table was only in an intersection, but when I think of a table, I think of not in an intersection. Am I understanding it right? Or is it?
Yeah, I believe sometimes you'll see them at like a crosswalk at a mid block crossing where you'll have that raised intersection. And it gets into probably an unnecessary detail. I apologize if I don't mean to offend by saying it's unnecessary, but the difference between a speed hump and a speed table and that, is that wide enough to be considered a table? Like, did we pass that threshold in the other? Ultimately, there's not a huge difference. I would say one of the advantages on a speed table or, you know, as a raised intersection speed table over a bump location or a hump location is you can actually, I think you have a little more control on the design of the ramp slope on the front, you know, on all the approach sides of that. So basically you can make it a little bit shallower angle slope to on a road that you don't want to lower the speed too much. So for example, if we are implementing on a residential minor street, you maybe don't mind that the traffic has to slow down to 15 miles per hour to progress over that, even if it's on a 25 mile per hour speed limit area. Whereas if you're out on Thatcher, you probably aren't looking to slow down traffic down to 15. You do want to slow them down to the speed limit. And that's where a speed table could be designed or a raised intersection could be designed so that basically a driver can comfortably progress over that intersection at 25 miles per hour or 20 or 30 or whatever the design design is.
Kind of a similar question is I've seen in some studies the term vertical deflection versus horizontal deflection. I don't know, are those terms you use? And do I understand correctly that vertical deflections are like speed humps, speed bumps, humps, tables, things that are vertical versus horizontal deflections, which is what kind of you were talking about, I think, both with respect to Thatcher and Washington, which is narrowing the street horizontally. Are those terms you use? And
yeah, generally speaking, you're accurate in what you said. I mean, I would say in addition, the verticals are pretty much the ones you mentioned. In addition, for the horizontal, there are options that you could do basically kind of curb bump outs, but alternating. So maybe you have a curb bump out on one side of the road on one end of the block and another. So you kind of almost create a more weaving pattern for the traffic, thereby not giving them just the, hey, I have, you know, 1,000 feet straight ahead, nothing in front of me. I can just speed as fast as I want. You visually change the roadway for them. But again, that is just a different version of a horizontal and not necessarily something we're, you know, looking to implement here.
And within your levels 1, 2, 3, 4, let me look at those. Did you have any that go so far as to include like closing off a street? Like one of the things we've been talking about up at Bonnie Bray and Clinton are partial or full closures like cul-de-sacs or barriers like that. I mean, would those be considered level 4? Above, or you know, what level would you consider something like a cul-de-sac or a barrier to stopping traffic from entering a street?
Yeah, I would consider those a level 4, just on the magnitude of impact that they're going to have to the traffic. You know, putting in a speed hump, you're affecting all the traffic, but you're not changing traffic patterns or doing anything. You know, putting a sign up, it's pretty small. You know, changing the control at an intersection, I think those are mainly in like level 3 if you're going to take it from an all-way stop to a signalized intersection. But if you're getting to the point of you're now blocking, whether it's a road off completely with the cul-de-sac or converting to a right in, right out, where you're eliminating a few different turn movements available, that would be at that level four impact.
Okay, thanks. Any other commissioners or staff, do you have questions for Jim?
I just have one quick question. When you mentioned bike lanes on Thatcher, but also I think you suggested that as something on Washington, maybe?
Correct.
Are those protected bike lanes, or do they have there's no curb between the street and the bike lane, presumably, or there would be.
Our initial recommendation was just with a 2-foot striped barrier. Buffer. So an offset from the lane. So there you're not directly up against the travel lane, but not a physical barrier. But that's definitely an alternative option that could be expanded upon to what we recommend. There's something I know I've seen in Chicago lately a lot where it seems more like more parking block implemented within that buffer area. So it's not actually installing a curb. It's enough a car can't drive over it, but it's an easier installation. So that's not in our initial, but it's something that we could be considered, or as if the project moves forward, could be addressed within, a phase one.
And the intent of that is to address speed, not volume?
Yes, I would say the intent of that is to address speed. The thought on, I guess I'll start with Washington, but it's really the same kind of applies to Thatcher, is when you have these wide open roadways, you've got two lanes on Washington, you've got these parking lanes that from the parking study that I believe KLA had done shows very, very low utilization rates. For mostly it's under 50%. Some blocks it's 0% parking. So you basically have an extra lane on the outside. Obviously there's signs up, don't drive in the parking lanes. Presumably those are put up because people were, so that it's just this wide inviting roadway that has a feel of a faster road.
Got it.
So by narrowing lanes, by closing the lanes in on traffic, it has a traffic calming effect, which will adjust, which has the intent of reducing driver speed.
Thank you.
Obviously traffic volume does need to be considered in this,
right?
In that we don't want to eliminate lanes or do something that's going to reduce capacity, but here volume wasn't the concern.
Got
it is just to address the speed.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
On Washington, okay, we're talking about that, which I like the idea. I'm thinking of Chicago, where you've got, parking, bike, traffic going both ways. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about there. And again, in Chicago, when you see that green stripe, I totally understand what you mean by thinning it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem to work, at least, when I'm driving down there, I get a little nervous, going over into the green lane, so to speak. So I like that a lot. I was actually kind of surprised at some of these numbers. I mean, Washington 38, that's a big number. And
yes.
And Thatcher, Thatcher 41, again, I know they speed, but to see the real number, that is fast. And this is going to be a Jeff question. On Thatcher, there was something that came through, some preliminary recommendation about a bike where they were going to reconfigure on the state road part from North Avenue to Chicago. And if I remember right, it was going to be traffic, and then two bike lanes near the residential side.
Kind of flipped. The Des Plaines River Trail is mostly North Avenue way up north. Several communities are involved in that project. The county is basically moving the bike path along the river out of the floodplain, so it's more usable. River Forest a couple of years ago kind of worked our way into the project, because originally Forest Park and River Forest were not part of it. The idea was to continue it down to the transit center in Forest Park. And so, yes, that is something that the village is still kind of involved with. It's still a project that's in the works. The consultant who's running that project last year secured funding to complete phase one engineering for River Forest portion of that path. And later on this year, the village will kind of have to make a local match payment to continue that going, which is already budgeted. But yeah, the general idea would be, in the conceptual plans that have been put together, is a bike path. It's a two-lane bike path on the west side of the pavement, so on the forest preserve side. But that would eat up one of the southbound lanes, thus reducing it down to one lane.
And reducing speed.
Theoretically, absolutely. So yeah, that is something that's kind of running on a parallel track and continues to do so.
Okay. And could we, on a temporary basis, do what they have recommended, a bike lane in that area?
Theoretically, that would, you know, potentially kind of changing behavior, changing things too much is never good, especially on a highly utilized road like that. It's also still under IDOT jurisdiction, so permitting for any of this is kind of tricky, or at least a lengthier process. Trying to do that twice over might not be prudent. But, you know, if that's something the village were interested in and doing, striping something in the meantime and then doing it on a more permanent basis down the line, it would just be something the village would have to seek permits from IDOT for.
Okay. And then the other piece too, and again, one more Jeff question. With some of these options, our toolbox, which I'm glad we finally have a toolbox here. Is there a way that we can get some sort of cost associated with these, just rough numbers? Because I know if you're putting in a bump out or curb extension, there is, in some cases, heavy engineering and heavy expense. I mean, not now, but for the future. And I know Chicago does some of the less expensive bump outs, if you will, where they keep that gap between the original curb and the new bump out, so they don't have to re-engineer the water flow and everything, correct?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen those and I've fallen in love with those. And I know I'm always sending Jeff some great ideas and he's probably like, enough already. But, you know, something like that where we could think of those type of things and just get some cost associated, because again, you know, the speed cameras that we love, the flashing lights, you know, at 15 to 20 grand a pop, we can't throw those up everywhere. Just being realistic about cost.
So yeah, the radar things are not quite that expensive. So put that out there. The cost matrix does kind of run a, what was it? 0 to 6, 6 to 15 and above 15. So kind of provides a high, medium, low cost thing. Okay. A lot of this stuff is going to be site specific if you're talking about physical infrastructure at a particular location. But as if the commission is considering, you know, if tonight's discussion led to, you know, let's talk about at the next meeting, bump outs at Washington and Ashland. This is completely hypothetical. If that's information that the commission would like a little more kind of honed in on as far as the cost of that, that's something staff could put together, probably a rough cost on a case-by-case basis. Absolutely.
Okay.
Any more questions from the commission?
Just one, and Doug started my question. The cul-de-sac or the dead end that we're considering in another location is not even on here as one of the options, even on level four. Is there a reason why that is not, like, that option is not considered?
Sorry, I'm just trying to read on the screen here.
Like, is that normal? That I would assume that would be in the toolbox.
I don't think it was something we exclusively or intentionally excluded, as in not to be considered. I think we have the median barrier and stuff like that, you know, kind of gives the same extent to block the turning movements. But yeah, we just didn't include that in. I mean, it's something that could, again, you know, this document was just recently provided to village staff, so they haven't had a full time, you know, their full chance to vet it. We could definitely incorporate additional improvements into this toolbox or eliminate some that, you know, aren't desired.
I mean, maybe that's something that we should just consider when we adopt this toolbox, is make sure it includes everything that we would ever consider. And I think it's excluding the two things that we're considering specifically on Northeast Quadrant.
If the village is looking for some kind of a motion, I propose a motion that we approve the use of the Thomas Engineering Group scoring matrix and traffic calming toolbox as tools to use going forward, along with Commissioner Hoyt's suggestion that when this draft is finalized, that ask TEG to include the use of either a cul-de-sac or barriers, and place that at the appropriate level where you think you would recommend placing that. It sounds like that was a level 4 type intervention, but if that's your recommendation, that you put that in the final. So that's my motion. Ask for a second.
I'll second it.
And then any discussion before we vote on that motion? Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty modest motion that I'm proposing that we adopt use of the scoring matrix and calming toolbox as articulated in this draft plan, and that and to ask that when Thomas Engineering Group finalizes this, that they include a discussion, or not a discussion, but add to the level cul-de-sac or barriers at the appropriate level where they see fit. Any discussion on that motion? I think we could vote on that.
Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Jim, we can thank you guys for your work. It's great stuff. We'll obviously have to discuss how we proceed going forward in terms of prioritizing and deciding which of these things we want to move on first. But I think we can excuse Jim and Kyle from the meeting, and unless you guys want to stick around. If we're not going to open it up. The public comment is with respect to that's on the agenda tonight is for, Bonnie Brand Clinton. I'm not going to open up Thomas Engineering tonight for questions from the audience. You can submit questions at any time to the village, and we'd consider those to put on an agenda at a future meeting. We'll get to public comment in a moment. Okay, we're going to keep this meeting under control, and so. I guess I'll leave it to you, Kyle and Jim, if you want to stay or if you want to be excused, but you're welcome to be excused as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. With respect to another agenda item is a kind of a broadly worded statement, discussion of Clinton and North Avenue, Bonnie Bray and North Avenue cul-de-sacs, the barriers that exist right now on a my understanding, a temporary basis. I missed the last meeting, but my understanding is that this commission recommended, after a lot of discussion, some of it heated, that a removal of the barrier at Clinton Place, that went to the village board. The village board rejected that recommendation. My understanding is in part or in large part because they wanted to make sure that that recommendation was considered in conjunction with Bonnie Bray and put it back on the agenda for that reason. What is difficult, as I indicated earlier, for better or worse, no use debating it, the section of the village that addresses this corner of Bonnie Bray and Clinton was excluded from this particular study. But we do have the KLOA study, and I don't know if that's still available on the website or if people have looked at it, but we do have data from KLOA. As I mentioned, it was collected last March, and it was discussed at length in various meetings last year, culminating, I think, in a meeting in September. And just to kind of recap a little bit without trying to retread all the past history, there were several neighbors who expressed concern about pass-through traffic. The KLOA study concluded that the volumes on Bonnie Bray, Clinton Place, William and Monroe were within the expected volumes, approximately 900 cars, that the speeds on Bonnie Bray and Clinton were also within expected ranges, that there was evidence of excess speeding, particularly on William and Monroe, and that the accidents at those in the intersections in that area were 1 to 3 within the years that were studied. And, you know, I will tell you that, as I indicated in my questioning, if you accept that data, and I know some people have questioned that data, if you accept that data, that would put the streets, Bonnie Bray and Clinton Place, in my view, at level one. It may be hard to get to level two. And, you know, and this is available to you, but I think that you should be aware of that. Now, look, it's always the case, I think, it's at least my opinion, that the village, whether this commission or the village board, could adopt a recommendation that goes beyond what's recommended within these guidelines. But, you know, the reason for having the village spend a lot of money and collect this information is to see that we can try to be more uniform, to try to have a more evidence-based approach to what we're recommending. And, you know, we're in this conundrum because I think, you know, this we adopted, we made some recommendations to try to be responsive. We had several neighbors then that objected to the method of notice that was provided, have come and expressed contrary views. And I think we can take a poll here in a moment, but I think it's fair to say that this is a divisive issue where we have people in the community that live there that have strong opinions both ways, both for and against keeping the barriers in place, and maybe have other opinions on other devices that could be used. I will note that KLOA, at the time, they did recognize that cut-through traffic was an issue, that, you know, during their counts, there was a greater number of southbound cars that were turning left on Greenfield and Lemoyne, you know, supporting the notion that there was cut-through. But even with that cut-through traffic, the volumes were within the volumes that would be expected and that were generally considered to be consistent with what is seen in the village, you know, generally. You know, the question is where do we go from here? I guess one of the things that I'd like to do is try to get a sense of the room. We recognize several of you, many of you have been here for multiple meetings, and we've heard from you. And, you know, we value public comment, but we also, I don't think that there's a lot of value in rehashing and saying the same thing that you've said or that people have said and that we've heard all over again. And so what I'd like to do, at least for starters, is I'd like to find out, I can see it from the list here, you know, that we have some people from Bonnie Bray, some people from Clinton, some people from William North and a few other streets. But I guess I'd like to start just with a show of hands. How many are here from Bonnie Bray? And of the people, and let's just get a count there, if you don't mind, guys. Is it like 9 or 10? 9? And how many of you 9 support keeping the barrier at Bonnie Bray? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. You're on, that's what I'm saying. You're on Bonnie Bray. You're on Bonnie Bray and you support keeping the barrier. Is there anyone that's here on Bonnie Bray that's here from Bonnie Bray that does not support keeping the barrier? Okay, one. And the goal is not to have a popularity contest, but to get an idea of, you know, just the stake of the room. Let me do the same thing with respect to Clinton Place. How many are here from Clinton? Like 8, 9, 8? 11? Well, And of you that are from Clinton, how many of you support keeping the barrier in place at Clinton? Three, okay. And how many from Clinton who live support removing the barrier? I have a few interlopers. And, you know, I don't mean to exclude. There are people who live on North Avenue who are affected. There are people who, you know, from other, if we just pulled the room, you know, I guess it, to me, it shows that it sort of supports what, at least generally from the numbers, you, from the anecdotal evidence that we've collected, is that as a general matter, people on, you know, if the goal is to prevent cut through traffic, people on Bonnie Bray are generally happy with the barrier, and at least people on Clinton are generally unhappy with the barrier. Well, listen, I'm happy. Look, I'm happy to count it any way, and we can count it a different way. But I think, to me, the problem is going to be is that the room is going to remain divided. And, you know, we can take these things one at a time, and we could decide whether we're going to do anything on this tonight. And so I guess let me ask this. Are there people here who want to address something with respect to Bonnie Bray and Clinton? You know, the topic that's on the agenda is the cul-de-sacs, the barriers. And that's what was issued listed on the agenda. And I'd like to keep the agenda limited to that topic. So while, you know, what I'm sort of concerned about is that when you go back to the KLOA study, there were other methods that were recommended kind of along the lines of what we just heard tonight with respect to an incremental approach that were not used. For example, adding parking on the west side of both of those streets to reduce, to basically constrict the width of the street. And in particular, if you added 2-hour parking on the west sides of Clinton and Bonnie Bray, at least on that first block between North Avenue and Lemoyne, that would have the effect at least of slowing down traffic that is coming down. Wouldn't stop cut through traffic, but it would slow down traffic. Is it already done on the west side now? Oh, that has been done? No, the idea was to add parking on the west side of those streets to by adding parking, and that's actually one of the things in the toolbox that's at level 2, which is to add on street parking to try to basically impede traffic by, you know, through that kind of a method. It's one of the things in the toolbox that could be used as part of an incremental approach. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we'd like to try to move on from this topic. And, you know, we'd like to try to come up with a recommendation for the village, and then the village can, you know, decide what it's going to do once and for all. But why don't I stop there and ask if the commissioners have any comments that they want to make with respect to this issue?
I just have a question. In the KLA study was done in March of 2022.
The data was collected then.
Thank you. The data was collected in March 2022. And we have made some changes to the area on Harlem since that data was collected. So should we even consider using that data and applying to the toolbox, or would we be better advised to redo the numbers? I don't want it to delay this further. I don't really want to ask this question, but I just want to know what your thoughts are on that.
Dave?
I mean, I would think that the changes that we had made would reduce the traffic and, you know, reduce the counts and reduce the speeds, if anything. So I would think that we could still use those numbers, and we'd know that even you know, even if they were wrong, they were sort of wrong in the direction of us being too conservative, right? Like in us overestimating the traffic there. That would be my sense.
Yeah, I guess along the lines is that, I'm sorry, Kim.
No, I say I agree with that.
I mean, one of my observations is that if we accept the KLOA data, I think, and people can check me on this, I'm happy to be shown to be wrong, but I think that Bonnie Bray and Clinton would be level one. And I think that William was identified by KLOA as having some increased speed, and there would be some things that could be considered with respect to speed, for example, on William and Monroe. And so at least it's my view that these barriers fall into the category of being sort of extraordinary measures that may be determined to be in the best interest of the village, even if they are not, you know, they don't meet the criteria under the study. And, you know, a challenge that I have is whether that's something that the commission would want to weigh in and make a recommendation, or, you know, whether we let the village board make that decision. But I guess to me, I guess a question that I'd like to have for the commission is that is, are we prepared tonight to recommend any changes with respect to Bonnie Bray and Clinton Place, meaning with respect to the cul-de-sacs or the barriers, or, you know, do we think that there needs to be additional information collected?
I think what you had mentioned earlier, you know, let's take a look at least the data that we do have and go into it. But I do agree it's probably a level one. I think overwhelmingly most people on Bonnie Bray appreciate that barrier there. We have not heard from either business for the last 8 months. So I think, you know, in this case, I think it's fine to keep that barrier there. With the Clinton one, I think you're right. We could remove that as we recommended. And then let's look at some of the other options that we have in our new toolbox. And likewise, as we go down into William, which is another speeding problem and increased traffic, you know, let's go back and review our toolbox there. What can we do there?
Other commissioners?
Doug, I just have one comment, which is that I think that it really kind of feels to me like it comes down to a question of, if we leave the barriers, what are we leaving them for? Are we leaving them and anticipating making them permanent? And if we're not anticipating making them permanent, then what else are we going to do there, right? Because I think that clearly we need to do something. But I think the barriers are overkill for the problem and probably expensive to put up and just, you know, sort of more than we need. So I think it's more a question of, do we leave the barriers up as a temporary measure until we find a permanent solution that's more scaled to the size of the problem? Or do we just take the barriers down now while we look for a scaled solution? Or do we implement a scaled solution, right?
Yeah, and to add, Dave, to what you're saying is that, you know, I think one of your points or questions was, what's the problem we're trying to solve? If we're only trying to solve cut-through traffic, regardless, we just don't like any cut-through traffic, then obviously barriers work. If the problem is speed, you know, what this Thomas Engineering study shows that there are different ways to address speed.
Well, and I think most of the comments and the letters have been, I mean, some of them have mentioned volume, but all of them have mentioned speed, right? I mean, I think speed is the thing that is, maybe not everybody would agree, but my sense is that slow moving, voluminous traffic would be better than any real fast traffic. That would be my guess.
And I'll point out that with respect to the volume at 900 was the volume that was measured by KLOA. That puts it in the lower threshold of volume. So when they measure using their scoring matrix, if it's under 750, it gets 0 points on their scale. If the volume is 751 to 1,350, it gets 5 points. If it's over 1,351, it gets 10 points. And then over 1,951, it gets 15 points. So it, you know, it even at 900 points, even if you say that that was undercounting by 100, 200, even 300, it would still be only at the 5-point threshold. And, you know, with limited crash history, with limited speeding, with the volume being around 900 cars, then the other areas on this matrix that would generate points would be looking at whether there's a school, park, library, church, CTA station, other kinds of things like that in the area, bike routes, and community interests. Obviously, there's high community interest, but it's somewhat divided. But even if you say supported by a petition, you know, that would get another 10 points. Bottom line is, I think, you know, we could employ a whole new study. I don't think we're going to get to a different result where it's going to be at level one. And well, we do. And listen, and people have commented on the fact that in the northwest corner of the suburb for 30, 40 years, whatever, for a long time, we've had streets that are closed and that people seem to like that and they've adjusted. Now, that was all done, you know, before we had this data, and that was done before any of our time. But, you know, again, anecdotally, I think we could say that people probably, we can assume that people like it, they've adjusted, and they deal with it, you know. But yeah, so that does exist, and that's worth noting. And, you know, at the end of the day, we make a recommendation, and, you know, this is a hard one, I think, because, you know, when politics or in public policy, I mean, at some point a hard decision has to be made and everyone's not going to be happy with it. And I'm sorry, I'm troubled because my opinion is we jumped the gun and we installed. Now, the barriers are on it, in my opinion, they're also on a temporary basis, and that we installed them trying to do something that we thought was for the best, and that for good reason, because a lot of people who want them, you know, they want safety for their kids, they want to reduce the traffic. I mean, all of those things we've heard, and that's really not disputed. The challenge we have is we live in a highly populated area, and then, you know, when you look at the data, when you look at the speed, you look at the volume, and you look at these other things, the question is that the right way to skin the cat, or should we be trying some other things incrementally, like adding parking, or if speed is an issue, and frankly, I don't think it is. But, you know, or, you know, is the choice that we decide to throw our hands up and say, let's go back and do another set of counts, you know, using some of the tools that Thomas Engineering have done, you know, we could recommend that that's what we're going to do. Although, in my opinion, it's going to get us to the same place where we are tonight. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, I'd be willing to sort of stipulate that speed is an issue, even if it's only, I think it's hard to measure. I don't love the KLA measurement technique, but I also think that if you look at the responses to the survey here, 75% of the respondents said that speed was an issue, and admittedly not in this quarter, but just in general, on any street that they were asked about, I think they said that speed was either somewhat of an issue to like seriously an issue, so something along those lines. And so I think, but again, even if you say speed is the issue, I don't think the barricades are the right solution for them.
Right. And with respect to speed, KLOA did recommend some of the things that are happen to be in this Thomas Engineering for level one, for example, new signage, other things about like flashing signs. There are other measures that could be used to try to address speed, even before you get to more radical things like some of the vertical things that I think might not technically really be justified. But there are, so there were some things that were recommended and they were not done. And so part of my concern is that we jump to the barriers without, for example, adding on street parking in those two blocks. It just, you don't live on that block. You live on the last block of Bonnie Bray? Okay, I'm sorry. Well, listen, listen. What I'm telling you is that there are other methods that can be used and that are recommended that we didn't use. And well, if you're going to push me, what I'm going to suggest is I'm going to suggest that we vote to remove the barriers and that we go back to putting in incremental changes that would include signage and on-street parking on the west side of the street to reduce the speed down the street. And the question that I'm struggling with is I'm trying to be respectful to everybody and everybody's views here, but at the end of the day, what we're trying to figure out is what's the most appropriate way to go forward with all the information that we've collected and with all the different viewpoints that we've collected. And at least the direction from the village board is, I'm not saying these have to be the same. It could be that the conclusion is you keep Bonnie Bray, but you alter Clinton. But there are effects in doing that. And, one of the effects that was identified by KLOA and by Thomas Engineering is that, of course, when you restrict one, you have potential knock-on effects, to another. And so we have to, accept that reality. I'm not too interested in what? So the issue is, if we're going to have public comment, I want public comment to be respectful and limited. And we can limit public comment to no more than a minute each. And I would like to not have people. And the one reason I took the vote is, frankly, if you support keeping the barrier, you can say you support keeping the barrier. Having a lot of heated rhetoric is not going to help at this point. And so I'm going to impose a 1 minute limit each. I'm going to impose a 1 minute limit on public comment and ask you if you support the barrier or don't support the barrier to say that and try to limit your comment. If you go beyond a minute, I'm going to gavel you out and end it, because we're going to get through this and we're going to end it. And we're going to make a recommendation one way or the other. And the recommendation may be to kick the can down the road again and collect more data. But so at this point, I'll open it up to public comment and I'll go through the list. And you don't have to give comment, but if you do, I'd ask you please to keep it limited as I requested. So I'll start with David Wasilek, if I pronounced it correctly. Dan Wasilek at 1400 Bonnie Bray.
No, trying. Hi. There you go. So, I'll just say that there's a lot more people on Bonnie Bray and my neighbors I've talked to that support the barriers. I support the barriers. And I just want to emphasize that we have level 4 in the Northwest corridor of our suburb, traffic safety mitigations. If anything, the Northeast needs it more than even the Northwest. We have two major highways there. We have the Fenwick practice fields. There's a lot of games. There's way too much parking already. And it's a popular school route.
Thank you. Pat Bevy. 1415 Clinton. Oh, is that Berg? I'm sorry. I'll blame you. Okay. Pat Berg, sorry about that.
That's not the first time I've ever. I am for getting rid of the barricades, and I'm also here to represent Dr. Nusafor, who's in Italy right now. And she's also for having the barricades taken down. That I think that what's important is that not the perceptions that people have, but the numbers. Okay. If you do a piece of research, you look at the numbers. If you do a piece of research and you already know the result of it, it's not a piece of research. It's a piece of crap. Okay. If you go to the doctor and he says you have 5 months to live, you don't find another doctor who says you're going to have 7 months to live. You do something about those 5 months. Thank
you. Thanks, Pat. Sorry and Shady. Do I have that correctly? Sorry about that. How do you pronounce your name?
Enskede.
Enskede? Okay.
Thank you. I'm at 1518 Bonnie Bray. I support the order. It's made a huge difference for us, for the kids, for the walking, for the dogs, for everyone. And there is high-speed traffic. It's not just the volume. It's the speed. And you'll never get maybe to the end to my new neighbor family here. But I'm really happy they have the same. I didn't have it when my kids were young. And they have it now. So I appreciate
it's that. It's these plastic things that are blocking the street. That you can't go, you can't drive through. You don't remember seeing it by the alley, at the end of the alley?
I don't know who's talking.
They're not cold.
Two other points. I'll just keep talking. But the parking thing, I don't really think the parking really is going to get in the way of people speeding through, quite honestly. It's nice not to have the cars there. I don't see how that would make any difference of anyone who wants to quickly get off of North Avenue and travel through the neighborhood. And the second pieces, when you talk about the data, I have to apologize. I don't know the data set that went into this decision. But one, I don't know how many car accidents are necessary, and they're just little blips of data. My daughter was in one of them. And if it's, you know, when you know someone who's in an accident with someone barreling through your neighborhood, you know, she's fine and alive and everything. But it's a little blip, and I don't know if you need 3 or 4 or 5 for it to register as data. But I think it's really important data besides volume and speed. And the third point I have, I'm sorry if I went over.
Yeah, but go ahead. Thanks.
My minute. But when you look at data through a new model, it concerns me as a person who looks at a lot of data. I'm a physician. I work with data. But to put it into what I'm thinking is when you take data and then you reshuffle it in a new model, you really need to get experience with that to make sure the data is going to be still relevant. Old data in a new model. And I think before you do that, you really go through some dry runs to make sure it's a sensible thing in interpretation of old data.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm 1507 Clinton. Is it Mary? Thank you, Mary. Was it Mary? Thank you, Mary. Marta at 1235 Monroe. Is it Cosber? Cosber? Cosber?
Hi, my name is Marta. Marta Cosber. I live at 1235 Monroe. This coming October will be 50 years since we moved to Monroe. I'm here to voice my objections to putting up the permanent barriers on Monroe, on Clinton and Bonnie Bray. Since the temporary barriers have been placed on these streets, the traffic on Monroe has increased 300%. I understand families living on Clinton and Bonnie Bray that were concerned about safety of their small children, but now all of these cars are turning onto Monroe and Williams Streets. My side of the street on the 1200 block of Monroe has 6 families with small children, and their safety is a concern as well. Cars race down Monroe. They go over the speed limit. I imagine William is the same. All the residents' safety is a concern here. I live and work in the village. I am a teacher at Lincoln School. And I can say that driving to Lincoln is sometimes a real challenge and a scary one, that people don't stop at stop signs. And we have 2 and 3 cars going through at the same time. And rerouting cars to Monroe and William right now has made it even more dangerous. I always wait extra time at the stop signs because I know people are going to run them. So I am just asking you to really consider taking down the barriers so that the traffic on our streets is lightened at least a little bit, because it's become quite hazardous. Thank you.
Thanks, Marta. Georgia, is it Politis, 1224, Ashland?
I'm Georgia Politis at 1224 Ashland. My husband has his dental practice right on the corner of Clinton and North Avenue. So I appreciate what you have said all evening, how you realize the impact that it has had on businesses. And right in that area, there are 4 dental practices. There's Dr. Beth Heiferman's. There is the orthodontist across from my husband. There's my husband, who's the periodontist. And then there's Jill McMahon, who's also part of our building. So when you did implement all this, I understand that you thought you were doing something constructive. But in reality, you have destroyed our ability to practice. So I appreciate what you've said, and I am for taking down the barriers. Thank you.
Thank you, Georgia. Kathy, is it O'Rourke? And you're at 1511 Bonnie Bray, correct? You support both, keeping them up. Thanks, Kathy. Betsy O'Rourke, oh, also 1511. Do you mind if you're going to talk for a minute, take the mic just so we can hear you?
It's crying. So we get, I don't know, Mary, if you've noticed, we get a lot of...
Move up the mic there. There you go.
Cars parked on our street to camp out. And not to mention, when we get accidents on Harlem and North Avenue, they reroute down to our street, probably even Monroe, William, and we get cars speeding down during rush hour that I've stand in the middle of Bonnie Bray stopping traffic. Now, thanks to our police department, awesome. They came, stopped it, but that's happened several times. So it's not just, it's crime and accidents on Harlem and North Avenue that literally cut through our streets in speeding way faster than 40 miles an hour. Right. It's super upsetting.
You got it. Thank you.
And I've witnessed it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Dr. Politis, Constantine. Do I have it right, Constantine?
Perfect.
Okay.
Hi, thanks very much. First, I want to thank you for considering putting the stop signs back up at the corner of Clinton and Lemoyne. I think that's fabulous. I think that needs to go back. I want to thank you also for the consideration of putting the stop signs at the alleyways, because I really think that's a dangerous point. I really do. Selfish reasons, I'm a business owner. I own a building at the corner of Clinton and North Avenue. The barriers are problematic for us, and I would respectfully ask that the one at Clinton be removed. So thank you for your time.
Satanju Sofu, 1407 Clinton Place.
Thank you. I'm also against the barriers, but I do really respect the other neighbors and concerns that they're having for their safety. I wanted to bring to your attention that this study that was just reported today reached the same conclusion. It looked at the whole river forest except at northeast quadrant, and didn't recommend barriers anywhere. And if you look at the map of that study and look at that northeast quadrants, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 barriers installed there. Whatever applies to the rest of River Forest should be easily applicable to the northeast quadrant. Barriers, I worked at Argonne National Laboratory. I did traffic modeling as part of my job with grants from Federal Highway Administration. And then we did work with Chicago Metropolitan Agency for modeling, traffic modeling. Barriers are always the last resort. There's a very strong public safety argument against them. And there's other calming measures that could easily address concerns of our neighbors in other streets. If you follow the guidance for the last traffic study, I'm 100% sure you will find achievable solutions for that northeast quadrant without barriers that will also satisfy our neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen Neal, 1407 Clinton also. Okay, thank you, Karen. Opposed. Is it Jess Wang, 1526 Clinton? Do I have that right?
Wait, sorry, I wanted to, I have to read off my phone. But thank you for considering safety. I appreciate that a lot. Traffic seems like it's 100% worse everywhere right now. So I'm not sure the 2022 study, if that would have different results if it was no barricade now and being done. I think the current study, they purposely didn't look at areas where you're making, going from speed limit of zero, speed of zero to turning, right? So this, I'm not sure how applicable you can look at the speed on Clinton Place or Bonnie Bray, because most of the cut through traffic's turning right and stopping first. So I'm not sure if the speed count would be accurate. We're a village. We don't live in downtown Chicago. I don't think we're entitled to have like the same city grid that we love when we were downtown. Even downtown has one-way streets. We have them on the northwest side. I'm sure if those were to be taken down, there would be uproar, but it just makes sense that anywhere around a busy intersection, maybe mirror image would make sense. So I think those ones have been in place for a long time. It took a while to get used to, but people adapt. Concentrating the small force of police we have on the busier sections of town where there's a lot of really serious speeding going on is effective. I go down Thatcher Monroe every day. When I see a cop, I definitely am attentive, and I see tons of people stopping, slowing down. So, but you can't put them on every busy street. We can't target every street in town. So you have to concentrate where they're most needed. There's blatant disregard. There was blatant disregard in the past for the stop signs at the four-way intersection. So if the barricade is to be taken down, you definitely have to put a stop sign back on Lemoyne, because people will just shoot through. There's going to be bad traffic, bad accidents, loss of life, handicapped children, lots of new families, babies being born on the northeast side. And I think it has to be a compromise between the businesses and the residents. Our parking on the street is used all day, business hours for the businesses, and that's fine. You know, I think it's fine. I certainly wouldn't want parking on the west side of the street to mitigate traffic. I think that I would rather go back to time before the barricades with no parking than adding parking.
So, Jess, so you're at 1526 Clinton, and you support keeping the barriers.
Keeping the barriers, okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Kate Byrne, 1411 Clinton.
My name is Kate Byrne. I'm at 1411 Clinton Place. I've lived there for 30 years, raised three children there from preschool to college, and never had a problem. I'm against the barriers. I applaud you for reading the report and saying that it was a level one, because I think the barriers are incredibly extreme, and I don't think that we need that at this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Kate. Is it 1446 Bonnie Bray Hermes?
What's your first name?
Yeah, Renee.
Renee, okay.
Renee Hermes, 1436 Plain Bray. I support removing the barriers and making them permanent. If tonight you vote to remove the barriers or either one of the two barriers, I think that probably we should not be using the KLOA study data. It was maybe closer to the pandemic. If we use the current engineering company, which from the what I felt in the room, everyone felt positively about what this company came forward with, I would ask them for a recount and have that company give us a more uniform set of data and recommendations on the northeast corner, so that at least there's something in place, not just removing the barriers. But again, I support keeping the barrier, especially the one on Bonnie Bray, as it's the corner, northeast corner of River Forest.
Thanks, Renee. Is it Greg? Give me.
Gary, 1226, William.
Yep.
I'm against the barriers.
Sorry, against the barriers.
Yeah, against. I don't want them. I want them all removed. I applaud you guys for getting this study and applauding you guys for saying that you're going to use the study. So, I don't think people, and I respect people that on Bonnie Bray who want the barriers up, but I think as a whole, for the whole city, you need to look at what the data says. You need to run numbers and whatever the numbers are. And like that gentleman said, like you go to a doctor, you hear what the doctor says and you listen to a doctor. You don't make up your own mind. And also I wanted to bring up a point, since you guys like that gentleman's study, he said that on Lathrop and Division, it was a level 4 almost. It was, they have to put stoplights up, is what he said. You're bringing, when you have these barriers up, you're throwing more traffic down Lathrop to make a left right there at Lathrop and Division. The same place, the guy who you just paid the study, and Renee over there just said, we all loved him. I don't know if we did or not, but he just said that. If you believe his study, you're making traffic there even worse. And how are you going to put a stoplight up there when kids are getting dropped off at high school? I don't know. But now you're making traffic worse in an area where it's already at a level 4. So
thanks.
I just want you guys to think about that. Thank you.
Greg. Kelly Iberian, 1226 William also.
So I think I spoke the last time around making sure your meeting minutes are accurate. I'd like to just put that on the record again. I think the script the engineer read should get actually posted. He read from a Word document all of his key points, so you should make that available. The reason I asked for that request is there were two key points he made. He said, one, the barriers were not something they would consider because it does is redirect traffic. It doesn't actually solve the traffic problem. That is the engineering expert.
Go ahead. Well, make your comment. I'm not going to debate.
You
go ahead.
You can go look
I'm
at sorry. His meeting minutes, right?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. Continue.
And get his speech, because I heard what he said, which was, you basically, all you've done is redirected the traffic. You haven't solved the problem. I think there's a reason. Second point I'd make, I think there's a reason. The reason I asked is, could we ask him a question? Is, I think Commissioner Hoyt was headed down the right path, and then she kind of took a wrong direction. No offense, but the question I wanted to know is, why did you not put them on the report, right? Because they are last minute decision, or they're the last option you should use. So my question for him was, when do you use barriers in a level 4? At what point do you ever consider that in the option? And I do respect this gentleman's expertise. I'm a data researcher. I've been doing research for 20 years. And I'll put this back on the record. You cannot use qualitative data. You have to use quantitative. Everyone's going to have their own survey and opinion, and it's called the survey of one. You have to let the data actually tell you how to make decisions. You have to read the data.
All right. Thank you.
And so I would just ask you, please use the data and reread what this guy came up with before you make any decisions. And I am against barriers.
All right. Thank you. Jill McMahon, 7329 West North. Okay, thank you. Is it Darshana? NOVICK? Okay. 7351 West North. Is that a business? Okay, thank you.
Dennis McMurray, 1429 Jackson.
Good evening. A few things I haven't heard anybody say is, number one, the streets are all on a grid system. It's just like water. If you don't go down one street, you're going over to the next street. You've already heard a lady on Monroe say her traffic increased when you put the barricades up there. So all you're doing is shifting traffic from an unhappy group on Bonnie, Bray, and Clinton. You're shifting it over to Monroe and William and farther down. You're not solving anything. I'm against all the barricades. Number two, where's the proof that any of this has cut through traffic? You've counted cars. Has he stopped any cars and said, where are you going to? Where are you coming from? Right where you're talking about is right by two big universities, a high school, a big church, and an athletic field. You're going to get a lot of traffic there. There's nothing anybody can do except building a wall where you're going to stop that traffic. It's ridiculous. I'm against all the barriers.
Right, thanks, Dennis.
Okay.
Thank you. Forrest, is it Stampley? Did I pronounce that correctly? Thank you. 1534 Bonnie Bray.
I'm against the barriers. First, I think, as some have said, again, I respect others who have different opinions, but I respect what someone said. I think we reacted too quickly, jumped from to a level four, when this probably is just a level one issue. Would it, as he just said, when you you create to a problem here, you always have ramifications. And what it has done, I live on 1534 on the west side of Bonnie Bray, and what right near the alley. And what it has done, it has shifted all that a lot of that traffic right down that alley, and people are flying down that alley. And there are some apartments that have steps that step right into the alley. It has created a danger problem in the alley, and more people are walking in the alley when there was no huge foot traffic. So I'm against the barriers. It has shifted the traffic from Bonnie Bray to the alleys. And those alleys are getting a lot of that traffic, and some cars are driving fast, and if you consideration you come up with, it needs to consider alleys as well, because a lot of cars, what I've seen, including myself, have to drive down the alley to get where I'm going.
Okay, Forrest, thank you, appreciate it. Christopher Cook, 1510 Bonnie Bray, and your friend.
Hi, my name is Christopher Cooks. I live at 1510 Bonnie Bray. I am for keeping the barriers on Bonnie Bray and also for the barriers on Clinton. We've moved in recently in 2021, and we've seen a dramatic difference in the amount of traffic going up and down the street. Even my son has asked me, why are the police on our street so often? And it's because it's been a great revenue generator for non-residents cutting through and getting caught at the end of the cul-de-sac and having to turn back around. And those experiences from the police officers should be considered as part of the data. And those traffic stops I see as a good deterrent for people that have made a bad choice. They don't come back. And that is seen over the past year as the barriers have been up. We like a block where our children be able to make a mistake, where they pass past the sidewalk and enter into the street, and we're not worried for people coming past at more than 25 miles an hour. We are certainly aware of other people cutting through the neighborhood, and we respect the speed limits as residents as well. My concern is for the people that are not residents, that do not view each other as neighbors and do not have concern for safety for young people, elderly people, and everything in between. So keeping the barriers, I believe, is a good idea. And to the argument of the barriers being a impeding public safety. They can be temporary, and any able-bodied person can move those barriers if there is a true emergency. So keeping them as an experiment is totally fine, and that a fire truck can easily push them out of the way. They push vehicles off the road. So I would like to keep them. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Rubber Malice, Lemoyne, and Bonnie Bray. Sorry, I was thinking of you as on Lemoyne, not Bonnie Bray. I apologize.
I'm on both.
I know. Okay.
I'm on both. I'm for keeping the barriers. And I'm for this commission committing to expanding protection all the way down the North Avenue corridor. Our streets are, I want you to think about this as your street. Do you want your street as a highway off-ramp, business parking lot, trucks with 45,000 pounds of hazardous cargo, speeding cars seconds apart all weekend long during the school commute and while children are home playing from 3 to 6 in the afternoon, a business access road? Because if you don't want that on your street, I don't want it on my street. Have a nice evening.
Thanks, Rob. Is it Colin Haynes, 1506 Clinton Place?
I'm on a conflicting side of you. How's your
last name spelled?
Hansis, H-A-N-S-E-S.
Oh, Hansen, I'm sorry.
Hansis.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a tough one. Try saying you're going over to the Hansis' house. It's a tough one. So I live at 1506 Clinton. I'm for keeping the barriers, or at least something where people cannot enter from North Avenue. Again, I think data is very important to her point, but there's a lot more people going into the office. You know, traffic in general is a lot higher than it was in 2023. There's no more, people aren't as hybrid as often as they were. In regards to parking on both sides of the street, I think that is a horrendous idea. Again, that there's parking all on the east side of the street now as is, and over to Lemoyne for the practices. And I don't want anyone's business to struggle, believe me. But these are mostly appointment-based businesses, to my knowledge, if they're right. Is that fair to say? So I would rather have one of their folks have to park a little bit further than my son roll out of the driveway and get smacked by a car that's driving by because there's now no barriers and now there's parking on both sides of the street. I think that's a horrendous idea. I appreciate you. Your guys' time, and I know it's a tough decision.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And appreciate everyone's comment and appreciate the tone everyone used and people's ability to, you know, keep it tight.
Can you make sure you look at the traffic study data you redid on Monroe and William after the barriers were put in, because that hasn't been re-brought up again, and it should be plotted into this traffic management plan.
Okay, thank you. So if we're none of us are sticklers here on the Roberts Rules of Order, but I think generally if we make a motion, then we would see if there's a second. If there's a second, we can have discussion, further, you know, discussion. If it fails for lack of a second, then it just dies. But so if there's a motion and a second, then we can discuss it, see if we're going to, you know, take a vote. I'm going to make a motion, and that is, my motion is to remove both barriers, to enlist Thomas Engineering Group to collect additional data of the streets that were excluded from their report and allow us to consider other incremental approaches to address the issue, you know, whether it be cut through traffic or speed in that area. So that's my motion. I'll ask if there's a second, and then we could have discussion if there is a second.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Any discussion?
Are we recommending to remove the barriers for the purpose of gathering data?
The motion suggests, I think that there's certainly not as much at this meeting, although there were some at this meeting and at prior meetings. I think there were questions raised about the methodology used by KLOA, I think both by some commissioners as well as by the public. The data was collected in March of 2022, not that old, but it was collected, was during the pandemic. It was also collected using certain methods that I think are not the same methods that are used by Thomas Engineering Group. I think there were some residents who questioned whether it was a method that signaled to people that it was being collected and maybe caused people to alter their behavior, you know, based on that. That's my recollection. I may not be right about that, but I think just given the passage of time, and I hate to keep spending money, you know, on this project, but I think given the strong feelings and, you know, the need for us to have accurate data and to try to make decisions based on the data, at least it would be my suggestion to sort of return this to the status quo without the barriers, collect new data without the barriers, and then, you know, based on that data, we can assess using the toolbox where these streets fall. It sounds to me like we can anticipate that we're at least going to need to address speeding on William and Monroe and maybe these other streets. And it'd be interesting to see what the volume study is. You know, the volume before collected again was at the 900 level. It'd be interesting to see if the volume is different. So yeah, that's my recommendation is that we remove the barriers to collect new data without the barriers and then determine what appropriate actions to take based on that additional data that's collected.
Because I want to be sure that we are in agreement that something needs to be done. So by removing the barriers, it can sound like, let's just remove them and move on. That's not what I want to recommend. I think for certain, we know that there's a speed issue. If it is a speed issue over a volume issue, then level one and level two, according to the new toolbox, are the methodologies that we should be trying first. But to say we're going to remove them and then not to have the study done for 18 months, I'm less comfortable with, unless we're all, you know, or we should have a discussion based upon that. So how quickly?
Good question.
And I don't know what the cost of it would be either. So we don't need a full study. We just need numbers. We already have the data to use it. How quickly that could be done? Is it a short term or is it a long term? Are we talking about?
I don't think it's that long term. I mean, I don't obviously know what Thomas Engineering's schedule is, but within a few months, I would imagine, is kind of the general time frame they would be able to operate on. It certainly wouldn't be an 18-month thing.
And I don't know. I guess I would defer to them to what extent they use the KLOA data or consider the KLOA data. Obviously, it's a data point. You know, that data is there. But, you know, I'd be interested to know, you know, if they accept the data, then, you know, maybe there's a way they could.
I mean, if the data is acceptable, it would be another option to say, let's remove the barriers and do X at the same time so that we don't have a period of months or a year of having nothing. Now, if the data can be gathered quickly, and we believe that the data gathered by the engineering group is going to be more accurate for using the toolkit, then I would say remove them. My personal opinion would be remove them unless get some data quickly. But I mean, maybe looking at the KLA numbers first would be helpful to know. I don't want there to be a long period of time that there's nothing happening to respond to.
And it sounds like, Kim, I mean, even it sounds like just from what we heard tonight in public comment is that there would be probably some opposition, at least to the one KLOA recommendation that was pretty consistent, which was to add on street parking, which I note is also a strategy under level two under the Thomas Engineering Group. But, you know, we also heard objections to that. But consistent with the KLOA, you know, there are things like signage, flashing signs. I mean, it would seem to me that it wouldn't be inconsistent to at least add some of those measures if the idea is to collect data primarily for volume and to also assess speed and then to determine based on that additional collection whether additional actions need to be taken. At least that's kind of where I'm leaning. But Pat?
Mr. Chairman, we received a number of emailed letters from residents who could not be here this evening. And if I am not mistaken, every email letter that we received was for keeping the barriers.
I could be wrong.
I just want it made known that there are some residents that couldn't be here that wish that to be done. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I guess I should note, I told John Osga that I would report he couldn't be here tonight. He's at a place where he doesn't have access to the internet. But he did say that he'd like me to pass on that he's in favor of keeping the barriers and considering speed mitigation on William, if I'm accurately reporting his views, which I hope I am.
And you said it much faster.
Yeah, well, I think I got it. Dave or Rick, I mean, do you have any comments on the motion?
I agree that we don't want, I tend to agree with the idea of removing the barriers and collecting new data, just so that we can be comparing apples to apples. I mean, I do sort of feel like whatever decision we ultimately make, if we're going to make it with data, we need to be making it with, you know, the best data that we can find. And I think if it's a couple of months, you know, that seems reasonable.
Rick or Kim?
If we remove the barriers, I think we need to keep, you talked about some of the signage, and I think the KLOA signage, there were issues with that would affect businesses, meaning there was no right turn on those streets, etc.
Yeah, that's not part of the suggestion.
But I think if we were to leave everything the way it was, remove the barriers and do new counts, it would be very interesting to see what happens. Likewise with William's going to go down. We know that. And Clinton's going to go back up. And Bonnie Bray will probably go back up as far as traffic. And that's what we need to find out.
Could we do
two of the suggestions, I'm sorry, that KLOA made with respect to signage? And again, I don't know if they would affect the counts or if we care. But one was installing yellow bordered speed limit signs in southbound just to get more visibility to those signs, and also to utilize portable or permanent speed awareness systems like the electronic systems that are on some street. Obviously, if you put those in, especially the portable one, might potentially affect numbers. And if your goal is to try to get an accurate count on speed, you know, you might think you want to not do that yet. See, to try to get an accurate sense of what the speed is. But those are just two of the suggestions that they made. I mean, Rick is right. I mean, they did, although they weren't recommending it. But I think partly what in part led to the barriers is they did recognize that one option would have been to install no right turn signs on North Avenue between the hours of 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. You know, that is another alternative that would be short of barriers. I think there was a concern that those kinds of signs are honored in the breach, but, you know, that remains an option to try to add some limited signage on North Avenue and to try to add enforcement on that issue. But so those are some of the recommendations that were in the KLOA study, and they recognized in noting that at least we would need to consider that if, you know, when you do that, the potential knock-on effects of diverting, if people do follow that there's potential diversion to Monroe, William, you know, other streets. So so other questions or comments by the commission? And I agree, Kim, Commissioner Hoyt, with the idea that I think the goal here is to do something, but is to make sure that we're addressing the particular problem. You know, if the problem's volume, you know, I know one individual, can't remember who it was, maybe it was Dennis. The evidence that I saw with respect to cut-through traffic, besides just what people have observed and said they've seen, is that the counts done by KLOA did show a substantially higher number of southbound traffic and cars that were then observed turning left on Lemoyne or on Greenfield, which suggests, I think that's evidence of cut-through traffic. I'm not sure that anybody's really
seriously debating that there is cut through traffic. The question is the amount, is the volume within a level that should be tolerated? Maybe not, but is it a level that should be tolerated? And then is the issue then really speed? And is there a different way or other way that it would be better to address speed if that's the particular issue? So we're trying to figure out if it's a volume issue, if it's a speed issue, or both. And then what's the best way to address that problem?
On my way here tonight, my apologies for being late, but I left the hospital.
You were excused. We knew you were coming late.
I beg your pardon.
You were excused. We knew you were coming late.
I encountered innumerable speed bumps on my way here tonight. I traveled from Long Grove all the way to here. And two roundabouts. I slowed down for absolutely every one of them. It's just, I hit the first one I didn't see. My husband may be, I may not be here next month or the month after. But after that, the sign was hidden behind a tree, so I couldn't see the sign. So, but I stopped for every, I mean, slowed down for absolutely everyone. And the speed bumps got higher. I don't know if that's normal. Normally, they're kind of like a little bit flat and you slow down. Some of them were humps. I mean, humps. And two roundabouts where you had to slow down because the other two sides, my street had a stop sign. That's my fault. I apologize. And the other side, the cross traffic, did not have a stop sign. So I had to actually stop and make sure nobody was coming. So just, they work.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously those are part of the toolbox, and, you know, those are mitigations that could be considered as appropriate. You know, I know folks have their hands up. I'm really kind of loath to reopen it to public comment. I mean, I try not to be a jerk about it, though. If you have a limited comment, I really don't, but I'm telling you, just because I open it up for one, I don't really want to then open it up to everybody. Yeah, I think the suggestion is that, you know, look, at that section was excluded because the village had paid money and had KLOA do this detailed study that they did. And so the idea was not to, you know, go back and reinvent the wheel, but, you know, at least the recommendation that's in the motion is that we remove the barriers for now, collect data, and then come back and, based on that data, address the issue. Just two more quick comments, and really I'm violating my rule. I don't want to reopen this up.
Asking, we were talking about the two barriers when you're going to do the study. Should you leave the other two up when you request TNG, whatever the company's name is, to do that study?
We're talking about removing Bonnie Brand Clinton. I know that's what's in the motion.
We have them redo the study. We were saying we did not take that barrier, bless you. We have them redo the study. It'll still be skewed if the other two are up. That's all.
What two are you talking about?
One's on.
That's fine. Yeah, thank you. I understand the point, but yeah.
I'm just asking.
I understand. So this does not, nothing that we've discussed today affects the diverted turning traffic onto Harlem from Lemoyne and Greenfield. All right. Thank you. I mean, we'll certainly, you know, defer to the engineers and the village to determine how best to sequence it. If our proposal is even adopted, I mean, first of all, we haven't voted to accept it here at the commission level. And then what we recommend is non-binding. And it'll be up to the village board to decide whether they're going to accept what we recommend. Any other comments from the commissioners? All right.
River Forest. Traffic and Safety Commission.
Are you muted?
No, the question was not a question. I don't think it was a comment, if I'm accurately stating it, and asking that we use care and sequencing. If a decision is made to remove the barrier and collect more data, that's done in a smart way and a limited way to sort of try to limit the detrimental impact of the change. I think there was also a suggestion in the meantime, if speed seen as an issue, to put in a speed bump. That's not sort of part of the recommendation, because anything like that's going to depend on the data that's collected. But I think that's close enough, I hope. All right, thank you. Any other comments from the commissioners?
Just one last one. I realize that we're and I've said it before, I'm worried about it being taken down for too long. In my view, we have two choices. We can either follow the recommendation that you've given, Doug, or we can take down the barrier at the same time that we put something else up if we're concerned about speed and safety. I don't know how long that would take, probably much longer. And so I'm probably going to agree to your recommendation, but the timing is really important to me, because normally if we take down the barriers, we would say, I don't know what normal is, but we would say, take down the barriers and do X. And we're just going to take them down and do nothing while we do the counts. So long as the counts can be quick, because, and also we can act quickly upon the results of those counts and not leave Bonnie Bray in particular out for a year without anything.
I don't think that we need to change the motion, but maybe we could, Kim, as part of this, ask the village if what you're suggesting is to keep the barriers in place and then to remove them as needed, sort of when it's time to take the count. And I guess I would defer to Thomas Engineering about how long they think they need to be removed or what's the best methodology to use to remove them and get an accurate count, so that we, you know, the goal here is to get accurate data so we can determine it. And I hear what you're saying is that let's try to at least maintain the current status quo until they're ready to do that.
Well, then upon that, receiving that data from them, we're at least going to have a level one recommended solution. So to ensure that we don't wait 6 more months to have a recommended solution, because there's a long time period in your proposal between taking them down and putting something else up as the next level one, level two, whatever we decide. So I just want to recognize that by taking them down, we are having everything be normal for a longer period of time than what we would do otherwise if we had another solution. And I'm just more pointing out that I'm recognizing that, and I am going to approve your motion, but I do want to just recognize that there is another problem that we're causing, which is a longer issue, a longer period of time to have Bonnie Bray and Clinton in a state that we already know that there's a problem.
Other comments? All right. Are we ready to have a vote on the motion? All right. I'll call for a vote.
Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Chase?
No.
Commissioner Gillis?
Gillis, yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Carl?
Yes.
Votes 4-1.
All right. So that motion carries. That'll go to the village board. The village board may or may not, as we've seen, approve it. you're obviously free to attend the village board again. Many of you probably have done in the past and, you know, express your view. And, you know, as Commissioner White was saying, I think we're committed to, you know, moving forward with this as quickly as we can so that we can take, you know, actions. Historically, we've taken actions in an incremental way. And I'm assuming that at least that would be our presumption, but, you know, we could do things more radically if that's the decision. And frankly, the village board may decide that they want to keep the barriers in place. I mean, that's their prerogative. But I think I know the meeting's getting long. I guess I'd like to hear from the commissioners about the folks from Thomas Engineering identified a number of other items with, you know, some pretty serious recommendations. And I don't know if any of us are ready to kind of discuss a plan forward or whether we want to prioritize any of those for a future meeting, or if we want to have the next meeting, one of the agenda items for us to maybe identify how we want to prioritize those going forward. I'm kind of interested to hear what the commissioners have to say about that.
I was going to say, we have heard about Washington for a long time here, and we've been distracted not talking about Washington. I think that's something we need kind of pretty quickly to take a look at and see what their recommendations are and talk about them and take some of their considerations into play.
Yeah, I mean, I would support, you know, if you all have a view that maybe we ought to, you know, put Washington on the agenda next meeting, and then also decide if there are maybe what issues we want to take beyond that. I mean, we could maybe do more than one, but it seems to me these are fairly big recommendations, and maybe doing them one at a time probably makes the most sense. And maybe putting Washington on first, you know, for the next meeting, I would support. I don't know.
So if my question was more a process question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information in that study that's will be approved shortly. Is it our responsibility as a commission to decide what's the most important, or is it the village who reads through it with their knowledge of it and recommends things that we're, I mean, who takes the next step, I guess?
Really, I mean, I think it could be either. I mean, usually we react to what members of the village bring to us, but as Rick said, you know, we have heard about all of these areas historically. And I think the study, at least my sense, is A, reacting to the survey, and then B, you know, based on their assessments, they identified these things that are needed. So I think we could probably pick any of them legitimately based on, you know, the fact that it's sort of driven by the survey to begin with.
So it is our as a commission responsibility to prioritize.
Well, we don't have to, but the other choices.
I meant with someone else going to versus us, I guess that's really my question.
I'm happy to hear from others. I think the village board would probably appreciate with us having this study. If we want to prioritize something, I think they would, you know, welcome us prioritizing. And I guess if they want to give us direction to prioritize something else, you know, they could let us know. I guess, Jeff, I don't know what you think about that.
Excuse me. I believe that would be in the purview of the commission to decide the priorities. I think one thing that we'll like to confirm in conversations with Thomas about the prioritizing, I know that you asked that question. I would like to dig a little deeper on what they believe. I think Washington and Thatcher, because of those speed numbers, would probably be the most important to address first. And those are bigger conversations, but I think that would be up to the commission to do. So,
yeah. And I don't know, you know, if there'd be stomach due to Washington and Thatcher at the same time, but, you know, I guess I'm willing to defer either. Maybe I don't know that there has to be a motion, but maybe we let it be known that we're recommending that we take up Washington at the next meeting. But if the village staff, or based on further discussions with Thomas, if there's a view that we ought to take up Thatcher first or something else, I think.
What about Lathrop? They identified that as a
vulnerability. I just want to say I'm not ready to.
If they're, look at, if I'm sorry, go ahead, Kim.
I'm not ready to make I would have to abstain from that vote because I have not like dove in specific into each one of those areas to even in my mind have an opinion on which I think is the most important.
Well, what if we did this? What if we did defer to village staff to maybe in discussions with Thomas and maybe follow up on this question of priority? And I don't know if they're able to prioritize. I think from the sense I'm getting, would we be in favor of if the village decides that they want to put Lathrop or if they want to do Washington or if they want to do Thatcher first, that we could get that on the agenda for the next meeting? We don't need to wait for our okay on that if the village would like to prioritize one. But I think maybe the message coming from the commission tonight is that we would like either Thomas or the village in consultation with Thomas to maybe prioritize which one of those recommendations we want to tackle first. Is that?
Sounds good. And the one thing I will say about the Lathrop and Division is that there's not as much to discuss just because they made a fairly specific recommendation. And
kids get to drop off. You put stoplights there, it's going to get so, I'm just telling you, people are going to stop there and it's going to be even more.
Okay, so maybe there's a lot to discuss, but there's but there's only one thing that we're discussing as opposed to a bunch of different things along a big street. So.
Yeah. So,
although their drop off is not on the street,
it is right there, not in front of it. They don't think it's on.
No, it's in.
I got a daughter.
You're not supposed to drop them off there.
You can't allow. You're not allowed to drop them off on Lathrop at all.
Right. You're supposed to drop them off.
Okay.
So if you put a stop, wait, they changed it. You don't go in the parking lot.
No.
Why would they do that?
Parking lot because it's so backed up. They all, I'm just telling you.
All right, so that's the easy one.
But once I sit back and say, when you do the noise, think about throwing Lathrop in that study because you're throwing cars down Lathrop. And as these guys identified, you've made Lathrop, it had already been that way, but Lathrop and Division is a level 4. So if you're diverting that traffic down Lathrop, see how much more, when you remove these barriers, how much it affects Lathrop also. Because their number that they have, the barriers, because those people are skipping it and using Lathrop, I promise.
Wait, I got a question. Hold on. My daughter went to Trinity, and we live further away, and she walked there every day.
Yeah.
And you're 2 blocks
up,
away.
Uphill both ways. Okay, so. Can I just, I'd like to just raise one more thing to the commissioners, and that's this start time of the meeting. We've historically started at 7:30, and I think maybe as a personal privilege to me and others who were working downtown and needed to commute and get home and maybe try to get a bite to eat before we came to the meeting. But I also understand, I don't know, you guys have to wait around. And so, I don't know, we don't have to resolve that tonight, but does the commission have for me at least feasibly, I can't really realistically start before 6:30, but is there a sense of you all? Well, I'd either keep it back at 7:30 and, or if there's a consensus to keep it, to me, the earliest would be what we did tonight, 6:30. Do you guys have an opinion? Okay.
A 7:30 start is substantially better for me.
And John Nozga said it's better for him too than it is for me for the reasons I stated.
7:30 is fine.
I know it's probably not great for you guys, but if we could keep it 7:30, I think we ought to try to do that.
I think I saw an email asking for 5 or 5:30 from these guys.
2:30. 2:30, yeah.
We just wanted a decision to be made. That's all we want. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, anything else from the commissioners before we break this evening? Okay. No reason to apologize. And also, you know, just to the staff, I guess, please commend Jim and Kyle of Thomas Engineering. I thought they did a really nice job. As Rick and others have mentioned, I think having a toolbox, having a methodology, having the costs associated and being able to identify maybe, you know, which
fixes, you know, which actions might fix which problem. I think it's going to be really helpful for us going forward. So on behalf of the commission, I think we want to make sure to pass that along to the village and to Thomas Engineering. All right. Can we take a motion to adjourn? Second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.